Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Joni Connell, your host for Real Life Lessons. Our topic today is real creative ways to attract clients. And our leading lady today is Cynthia Trevino with the Client Conversion Coach. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Joni. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so glad you were able to join us today. I want to tell our listeners for a second a little bit about you so they'll know what to expect for our show today. First of all, Cynthia teaches entrepreneurs how to attract the perfect clients using her Client Clarity to Cash Flow signature program. She's got over 30 years of experience, and she has so many interesting stories to share about corporate America and entrepreneurialism, and we'll get into all that in just a second. But I want to also mention that Cynthia is the author of her upcoming book. It's called She Markets, A Guide for Women Entrepreneurs, and we're going to talk about that too. But let's get into the questions. So Cynthia, I already mentioned here, you've got 30 years of experience, and I'm sure our listeners want to hear your story. So what are some of the highlights of your career?
Wow, I know, over 30 years. I was in corporate America for a long time, and as a baby boomer, you went to a company and stayed there, so I did, but I had the advantage of working. I had been in San Diego at one of the branch offices for AT&T, and then I had the opportunity to go to work for corporate headquarters in the 80s. So I was in corporate headquarters in New Jersey for 15 years, and that was a really great gig for me because I got to travel, work on different projects. It was domestic travel, and it was still exciting and fun, and working on a lot of different projects. But one of
so
the
where was it? Wait, hold on. Which company was this?
It was for AT&T.
Oh,
so it
okay.
was in. It was in the 80s, so it was the old AT&T.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Before wireless. Yes, before wireless was big, yes. The old AT&T. And it was, working for corporate headquarters, you do get to travel domestically. I did at the time, so that was a good part, and get to work with the sales teams and the service teams in the different cities throughout the country, and that was fun. And you would ask me about sort of challenges, right, with corporate America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I was inching, and I emphasize inching, my way up the corporate ladder. And I was single and, of course, no children, and I traveled all the time. I traveled probably 3 weeks of every month. And then I had a setback. A project I was on was canceled, and I had had a temporary promotion, and it was rescinded. And so it was just one of those sort of moments in my life when I was devastated. I was humiliated and devastated. You know how it is in corporate America on this corporate staff of about 400 people, everybody knew, and it was gossiped about. When I look back on it now, it's funny. It's almost like high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, we always have these jokes about learning how to work from the playground, but the playground continues. And that's what people are doing, aren't they?
Yes, and nobody would talk to me right after I was demoted. And it was just...
Oh, my gosh.
It was tough. I had a few friends, but it was very tough. And so they said to me, just find any job you want in AT&T anywhere. And because I had always been my career first, I really did have sort of an aha wake up moment because I didn't have a personal life. I really liked being independent and I had never really wanted to be married. But in that moment, I just thought to myself, wow, you know, it would be, you know, it would be so great to have someone to come home to. So long story short, rather than looking for a job, the first thing I did was say, all right, what can I do to find a long-term relationship? And this was before the internet, before Match.com. So I was living in New Jersey, very close to New York City. So I used the New York Times personal ads.
Yeah,
and I found,
I remember those. Yep.
Yes, yes. And I found singles events and singles bicycling clubs and singles. And I did that for 2 years. I set myself a goal and I set up a spreadsheet and I said one singles event during the week and one singles event on the weekend. And long story short, at the end of it, I ended up engaged after 2 years. And it was just great because I put my personal life first and work just sort of fell into its normal place, right? And
you really set your mind to something and make it happen. I'm impressed.
I did. And it was funny, but so that was great. And we ended up, I've been married to my husband now for 26 years. So it all worked out. It's just everybody's path is different. And the one thing I tell everyone, whether it's business, because, you know, I faced similar challenges when I became an entrepreneur and left corporate, but it's really never too late. Never.
Yeah, you know, I hear that a lot. And, you know, I hear so many people who are younger who are so impatient as well,
yes,
thinking it has to happen now and realizing that sometimes it doesn't happen necessarily right when you want it to. Like you said, it took 2 years to get the relationship that lasted a lifetime, right? I mean, sometimes these things have to take a little bit of time to make happen. And yet you can also make changes at any time in your life. So it doesn't have to be forever either. So that's kind of a nice thing about, yeah.
Exactly.
So
yes.
I want to hear a little bit about this. So you're talking about your corporate work here, but now you're an entrepreneur. There must have been a change at some point. How did that happen?
You know, I took an early retirement from AT&T because I wanted to relocate back to Southern California. My parents were getting older and my husband loved Southern California. And so he said, why are we living in New Jersey when there's no snow in San Diego?
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, why are we? So I came back to San Diego and I started working with a couple of telecom startups and I was working for one company based in Palo Alto in Northern California. And I would commute up every week from San Diego and it was kind of a grueling schedule. And it was during the telecom craze of the early 2000s and it was very competitive and it, you know, the market was erratic and the market was getting saturated with different companies doing the same thing my company was doing. So fast forward, there was a massive downsizing. They downsized over half the company in one day and I was downsized. You know, you've heard these stories, right, Joni? It's just, you sort of see the train is coming toward you, but you think, I procrastinate. I said, I've got time. Maybe I'll survive this one. And so I was totally unprepared. I went job hunting. I was well over 40 by this time. And I had a couple of interviews in 1 week. And, you know, they say change happens in an instant, right, Joni?
Mm-hmm.
So in two interviews within a week with similar telecom companies, one, they were both the hiring managers were men, And one of them said to me after the interview, "Cynthia, you're too technical for this job." I thought, okay. I really was never technical, but I was used to working around technical people, right? And when you work around technical people, you tend to sort of sound like them, right, Joey?
Yeah, you learn the language quickly to survive, right?
Yes, yes. And so I thought, well, I've got another interview, and I was optimistic. And in this interview, the guy that was the hiring manager said to me, "Cynthia, you're not technical enough for this job."
Oh, no.
So I thought to myself, seriously? So I was driving up the freeway. I live in North County, Carlsbad, north of San Diego. And in the time it took me to drive, it was about a 25-minute drive, I thought to myself, I heard these two, you know, directly conflicting opinions of my capabilities, and I decided I'm done with corporate.
Wow.
And it happened in an instant. And I was normally a person who didn't make decisions quickly. But it was a hard road, Joni, but I decided, why should I put myself in a situation to be have my capabilities, my talents, my future decided by somebody else?
Right. Right. Exactly. So you started your own business then? Yeah. So what happened?
Instantly. It did. My husband had been downsized recently before that. I had met him while I was working for AT&T. And so we started a consulting firm. And I, for one, had zero background in being an entrepreneur. I was not prepared. Social media wasn't what it is today. Today you can put up a blog, you can write thought pieces for Huffington Post or for LinkedIn, right? There's so many opportunities mm-hmm. to share your expertise today. And that wasn't the case in 2001. It was right after the tragedy of 9/11, and it was a tough time. But, you know, I learned how to be an entrepreneur the hard way by slogging and making lots of mistakes.
Right. That's one of the things we talk about so much on the show is the real life, you know, being resilient to be able to make those mistakes. But the empowerment that you're showing here to actually think that, you know, after this life of corporate for so much time that you could start your own business and then get through it, that shows a lot of strength and something that I think our listeners really need to hear, because that's a scary thing to do. It's really
scary.
So how did you get through that?
I made a lot of wrong starts, but I kept trying things. I would listen to an expert and try everything, right? Network everywhere,
yeah.
Put up a website. Well, websites were new then. But there were some things that, and I talk about this also in my upcoming book, the things that stood me well, and I would think for your listeners, for our listeners, to really realize the things you do in corporate job, especially today when so many of us, when you're in corporate, you're mobile, right? You have a laptop, you have a cell phone, you can work from an airport, you can work from, you know, the lobby of a hotel, you can work if you're visiting a branch office, you can work, you know, in a hallway. And so luckily for me, I had very early, even back in the late 90s, I had taught myself to be mobile. As soon as they gave me a laptop, Joni, I taught myself how to work remotely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then what I realized, you know, working from my home as a self-employed business owner, a lot, you know, technology is still a bit of a challenge, but I was used to keeping a lot of things in my laptop. Of course, cell phones weren't as easy to use in those days, but still,
right.
It was just the idea of I can get everything in my briefcase that I need to do my job, to work from a client site. And I think that helped me a lot. So I would say to listeners, if you're thinking about leaving corporate, you make a list of all the things you already know how to do that translate across from being in corporate America to being, you know, your own boss. And there's lots of them.
Wow. That is great advice. I mean, when I do my career coaching, that's exactly it. We talk about transferable skills, and you just brought it into a whole new light of transferring your corporate life skills to entrepreneurial way of doing things. And you'd be surprised, or maybe not surprised, you know, in the end, how many of them do transfer. And we're seeing that right here with you. You know, I'm going to want to turn to talk to you about your book in a second. But before I do that, and just in case our listeners may want to reach you after our show, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Oh, that would be great. I'd love to hear from your listeners, Joni. My website is clientconversioncoach.com. And you can go to my blog there. I put up lots of great content. And or they can call me. My phone number is area code 619-247-1958. And I'd love to hear from listeners, any questions, any comments, any shared stories of transitioning from corporate to entrepreneurship, or any questions about that. I'm happy to just reach out to me. I'm happy. There's a contact form on my website. And I'm happy to chat and share stories.
Yeah, actually, I can vouch for that. Chatting with Cynthia is a great experience. I highly recommend it. Well, okay, let's talk about your book, She Markets. First of all, that's the beginning of the title, She Markets. And I want to know, it's a guide for women entrepreneurs. So how did you come up with this? Why women? You know, what's the book about? Give us the highlights of the book now.
Sure. I had been a marketing consultant for a long time because I did marketing in corporate America. And in the book, I share how I had to learn that marketing for small business owners and entrepreneurs and professionals is different than it is in corporate. And that was a bit of a transition for me. But what I found was, as a consultant, I would go in, work with a startup founder, a founding small team, or a small business, or an author, and I would help them do a campaign or launch a blog or, you know, do whatever it took to get their expertise, their credibility out there. And I would leave, Joni, and I would realize that they didn't learn the basic best practices, the basic things to do, because I was doing it for them. And after years and years of this, mm-hmm. it just kind of broke my heart. So what I decided was, rather than be a consultant, I'm going to be a mentor and a trainer. So I put together mm-hmm. everything I've learned, and I put it into a 5-step system. And I teach women entrepreneurs, particularly because I find a lot of women entrepreneurs are just so good at what they do, and yet they're a best kept secret. Don't you find that, Joni, when you speak with women entrepreneurs sometimes?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think women are socialized not to promote themselves in life. And so sometimes the marketing piece can be really hard. I don't know. Is that something that you talk about in your book?
I completely talk about that. And that's where I start. Mm-hmm. And my first step in my 5-step system is reframing your mindset as a woman entrepreneur to know that you're the best vocalist you're the best communicator for your ideal clients. I teach a lot about getting to know your ideal clients. And I like to say you want to know them better than anybody else in your field knows them. And you want to really identify them. But I also teach that it's an obligation and a duty for you to let the people you can serve best know that you exist and know what you offer and know how you help people just like them solve the problems that they're facing every day. And it's reframing. So it's reframing the idea of marketing yourself to the idea of you're letting people know how you help people just like them solve problems or achieve goals and dreams, right?
Yeah. So let me just get that right. So instead of marketing yourself, you're talking about not solving problems for people, but helping them solve their problems?
Yes, it's
yeah.
I think marketing, I define marketing as making people aware of what's possible for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's once you
right.
know who your once you know who your perfect client is, and you know what their urgent problems are, not the run-of-the-mill everyday problems that your industry, your field talks about, but your specific client, once you know what their problems are, then, quote, air quotes here, marketing is really saying, these are the kind of people I help, and these are the kinds of things I help them solve. And it's not self-promotion. It's painting a picture for a potential client about how they can break through a barrier when they work with you or use your products and services.
Yeah. You know, I have to let go of a little secret here for our listeners that I've been through Cynthia's program and her book, and wow, life-changing experience here, because I mean, what she's explaining to us now and what you're saying, Cynthia, is it's not about you necessarily, which sometimes people will be like, oh, wait a minute, I don't want it to be about me. But I think what we're seeing, like for the women thing, it's like, what a relief that is. You know, wow, okay, I don't have to get out there and sell myself. What I really need to do is find somebody who needs what I'm offering and help them solve a problem. And then it's not about me trying to force something on them. It's me helping somebody who already wants what I have to offer. And that was huge for me, Cynthia. So I'm like a huge supporter of your book, and I hope our listeners will go check it out when it comes out here, in about 3 or 4 weeks, you're saying?
Exactly. Probably about the middle of March, yes. I'm in the final stages of setting it up, yes.
Okay, so I'll tell our listeners, get on her blog, follow Cynthia, so when her book comes out, and it's an easy read. I mean, it's something that's really approachable, and she has great stories. So let me touch on one other thing, which I think is so important for women, and that is the authenticity piece. I mean, you started to get into that, Cynthia, but I mean, when you talk about marketing, so often we feel like, oh, I got to put on my sales persona, or, you know, I have to pretend to be something else and be a chameleon for everyone and not be myself. How do you keep it in an authentic way? How do you market authentically?
I love that question, Joni. How do you market authentically? And what I teach my students is marketing is such a vast, broad topic. There's so many different ways to market, and each of us, each woman, each business owner, each entrepreneur, each professional is going to find her own way that works best for her style. And it's easy to find and retain your own style when you put your clients first. When you think, what I'm doing is I'm not marketing. I'm after you've done the work to decide and choose who your ideal client is that you want to serve, you talk about them. And you say, when somebody says, what do? You say something like, I work with business owners who urgently want to expand their products and services into Asia and Europe. So then you would describe briefly the kinds of results. I help business owners expand their products beyond the U.S. borders, without adding extra staff, or whatever your secret sauce is. And so what you're describing, and what I say a lot is that women are so expert at what they do, and they're so focused on service and serving, which is wonderful. That's our nature. But in the beginning, you don't have to tout your skills. You only tell super brief stories about the kinds of results you help people get. And then you let them decide if they want to ask you more. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I'm taking notes here for my elevator pitch revisions.
So should I give one more quick example about how that might work?
Yes, please. Give one more.
One more. Okay, let's assume just for a moment that you're a web designer for a small business, And as a web designer might say on her website, or she might say this at a networking event when she's introducing herself, I'm a web designer. I work with mission-driven business owners who want to provide customized website experiences for their specific clients. And when she mm-hmm. says that she works with mission-driven small business owners who want to provide customized experiences, what she's saying is she is gently repelling some business owners who want a very inexpensive, quick, rapid, up looks like everyone else website. What she's saying is the business owners that come to me for a website are the ones that are want to make an investment because their business is important and the look and feel is important, and that's who she works with. So she's describing who she serves. She's describing the kinds of outcomes she gets for them. And so she's attracting toward her her ideal client, and she's gently repelling sort of the other other people who don't think a website is as important. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's another huge aha moment that I had working with you, Cynthia, and that is that you don't want everybody. And sometimes we're always trying to please everybody, right? And then we feel the rejection when we're not. We're saying, no, that's not the person you want. Make sure,
exactly.
like, you're only getting the people that are the ones who want your services or the problems that you're trying to solve. And I love that. So you're here giving an explanation so they can sort of self-select out, right?
Exactly.
Say, oh, yeah, I know somebody who does this rather than I'm the one.
Exactly.
Boy, and that saves you so much time and energy trying to chase someone down who's not your perfect or ideal client, too.
Exactly. Exactly.
I want to summarize for a second here because I wanted to just say a couple of things here about Cynthia. First of all, you know, she fits in our model here of real life. The resiliency she's shown of getting through this corporate layoffs, starting up her own business, marketing, which is all about trying and failing, right? And then trying again until you succeed. So I think that's an important lesson for all of us. And the empowerment. Yeah, starting up a business and writing a book. I mean, here's somebody who, if you want to have that conversation with Cynthia later about how she felt empowered to do this and that it is possible to go out and do these things, here she is. The authenticity piece. Wow. I mean, Cynthia shared her stories. I felt real connection to Cynthia and knowing how to be able to market authentically. Boy, that's a relief for me, right, to be able to get out there and not feel like I have to be somebody, pretend to be somebody to sell my services. It's really about the person you're working with, not you. And then limber, I mean, that's all about finding your perfect client and meeting their needs. So, wow, I think that's been a great show, and it's our show for today. And I'd like to say thank you to Cynthia for being our leading lady today. Thanks, Cynthia.
Oh, thanks for having me, Joni. It was so much fun.
I know. I can't wait for people to call you after the show and continue the conversation. So a special thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show as we're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. Our next leading gentleman for a change is going to be Michael Hannigan with Giving Something Back. And our topic will be Give Something Back, Doing Good with Office Supplies. I'm Joni Cannell, host of Real Life Lessons. Thank you for listening, and remember, real women are resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.